So, Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love for us, for your guidance and direction in our lives, Lord. We thank you for your word, mm-hmm. how it speaks into our lives, it molds us, it shapes us, it guides us, it directs us, it reproofs us, it corrects us, it instructs us in the way of righteousness, and we are so thankful. Thank you for this overview. We looked at these past few weeks, Lord, in this lesson, and we pray that you would go before the teaching now, Lord, anoint your word to go forth, put your words in my mouth, Lord, and speak into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to bounce off of our lesson a little bit in tonight's teaching, and in a couple places it had asked us to title either a chapter, and in the very last day it asked us to title what we would title the book of James if we could, and my title was Faith Changes Everything. And so that's what
Faith Hill is a song. Faith changes everything.
Well, I didn't know that. Sorry, I'm not taking anybody's copyrights or anything. But that's what I would have titled this book. Faith Changes Everything. And hopefully by the time we're done with this lesson, you'll understand why. But as I thought of that title, I was thinking of the song that gets played at Christmas that is titled A Baby Changes Everything. And it talks in the chorus, it says, a baby changes everything. And that baby that it's talking about is Jesus, because he came to seek and save that which was lost. We see in Luke 19:10. And he did that by making himself the propitiation for our sins. And in 1 John 2:2, the very first portion of that says, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And that word propitiation is a means of appeasing. So we are separated from God, and it's our sin that separates us, and that gap needs to be appeased in some way, and Jesus was that means of appeasing God's wrath towards man, the judgment that would take place towards man's sin. And 1 John 4:10 says, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. So it wasn't because we were seeking to appease God, it was because God was seeking to make this appeasement because of his love for us. And so as I was thinking about faith changing everything, it's because of God, because of his love towards us, that change is even possible. And because Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, because he was the propitiation, that means of appeasing, what should our response be? And we know in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world, again, we see that it's God's love that made it possible. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. And so we need to believe in the Son. And Romans 10:9-10. Says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So again, we see that it's believing in your heart, and that belief in your heart will lead to it coming out of your mouth, because it's what's in your heart that flows out of your mouth, that you would be confessing, this is what I believe in, and proof of your salvation. But it's that act of believing that leads to the faith, that leads to faith. And how else are we going to have faith except that we've heard? And Romans 10:9 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we need to be in God's word to even be able to have faith in God. We need to know what God's word says. It comes by hearing his word, because that's where we learn about his love for us, and that he has come to seek us and save us, and that he has made himself the propitiation for our sin. And we looked at length last study about how that faith, once we have that faith, is what justifies us. It's not the works that we do, because none of that could be good enough, but that we're justified by faith. And there were so many verses we looked at, but there's Romans 5:1, Galatians 2:16, Galatians 3:11, Galatians 3:24, all talk about the fact that we are justified by faith. So we do need to have this response of faith in order for our lives to be changed. And once we do have that faith, that is then where doing comes in, where works then come in. It's not to gain our salvation, it's not for our justification, but once that has happened, then our lives are changed and our faith is put into actions. And right in our book of James 1, verse 22, it's been said that this is James' key verse out of the whole book. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we take God's word in. We believe in God's word. We're changed by God's word. And then we have to do God's word. We don't just want to sit on it. Because if we do, we're deceived, because we should be changed and faith should become action. So he encourages us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, we see a little bit more about this. We talked just a little bit ago about how it's God's love that made him send Jesus in the first place to be the propitiation for our sin. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 says, for the love of Christ compels us. We now know that we're loved by God. We're changed by God's love. And because of that, that love compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, and that he, of course, is Jesus, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So the love of Christ compels us to take action. Because he died for us, we want to let other people know about that. Because it says right there that, well, he died for all. And we looked again at length last time about how no one good, no, not one. So Jesus did come to be the propitiation for all. When we looked at 1 John last year, one of the verses I just quoted, I believe that it's 1 John 2:2 that goes on to say that he came to be the propitiation for your sin, but not yours only, for the sin of the whole world, because he desires that none should perish. So his love compels us. We're compelled, once we have faith, to do what he wants us to do, to live out his word, to put it into action, to let others know that he died for them as well. And how can we even do this? 2 Corinthians, you look down a couple verses, 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In our flesh, remember we talked about our righteousness is as filthy rags, it's not going to benefit God at all. But because we are made new creations in Him, those old things have passed away, we've become new, we can now become doers of His Word. And remember, we are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works, and that our works are done so that our Father in heaven may be glorified. Remember, we talked about, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The only way we can do that is because we've become a new creation in Him. A little farther down in that chapter, verse 20, it says, we are ambassadors for Christ because of the change that He's made in us. We are now able to share the good news, share what Christ has done in us with others. And it's all because we have a changed life. Faith leads to action in our lives. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So we look at James, this book of James, as you read these five chapters these past couple of weeks, and you see how he talks about faith and works, being doers and not hearers only. And you go, yes, okay, I get that. Guess what God calls it? Our reasonable service. Not that it saves us, but it's a sacrifice that we make to Him because of His love for us and our love in return for Him. We present our bodies that living sacrifice, and He sees it as holy, and He sees it as acceptable, and it is a reasonable service. You remember that Jesus Christ said that He came to be a servant, and we saw that really tremendous example of Him being a servant when He washed the disciples' feet, and He took on that lowliest of roles, because He was a servant, and then He went on after that to say, do as I've done, follow my example. So He desires us to be servants. So once we are saved and we put our faith in Him, it's our reasonable service to be doers of His word. And what does He say as part of that? In James, he talks about pure religion and the fact that that is, in chapter 1, verse 27, he says, oh, that's because my page is flipped with the fan. I'm like, why am I? My Bible's not saying that. Oh, it says in verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So He wants us taking care of those in need. And He specifically points out the fatherless and the widows who need help. The widow doesn't have that husband to guide and direct her. And so we, as the body of Christ, can come along and share with the widow Christ and be that for her. The orphan doesn't have parents to nurture, and Fred went in depth yesterday about the role of the father. And children need that in their life. They need that positive role model in their life. And God says, this is your reasonable service. It doesn't go, it's not some huge thing He's acting or asking us. It's reasonable. most of the time, I know many people who go above and beyond what anybody would even ask in a situation. It goes beyond that reasonable service, but God is asking just reasonable service of us. And I wanted to read the Days of Praise from June 17th. Our response should be to do it, not because God is an evil taskmaster or anything like that, but because we want to please Him. We want to please our Abba Father. And the title was Pleasing God. It said, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That was 2 Corinthians 5, 9. It says, Paul's great ambition was to please the Lord and Savior. In this text, the Greek for accepted often also is well-pleasing. And this is the real meaning of the word. Since this also is the great desire of every sincere Christian, let us look at a few of those passages where the Lord tells us specifically how we can please Him. So if we look back at 2 Corinthians 5, 9, it could say, wherefore we labor or we work, that whether present or absent, we may well please God. Consider, for example, but to do good and to communicate or to share what you have with others, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased, or He accepts this, that He accepts that as reasonable service, to do good and to communicate with others, and specifically communicate what we know of Him. There is a special admonition to children. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It is acceptable to the Lord when children obey their parents. For adults, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please, which is that same root word, be acceptable, please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That was 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. The same word appears in Romans 12, 1 and 2, translated twice as acceptable. Paul urges us to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. He wants our lives to be well-pleasing to him, being not conformed to this world, but transformed by a renewed mind, thereby to prove that good an acceptable and perfect will of God, so thereby to prove what is well-pleasing to Him. The common thread in these and other such passages is that in order to be pleasing to the Lord, we must be good stewards of all our possessions and all of our days, serving Him totally. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable or well-pleasing to God, Romans 14, 18. This is our reasonable service, and it will be abundantly repaid if we hear Him say in that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So these verses kind of picked out the fact that if we have faith in Him, we're going to be doing good works, and it's going to please our Father. It's going to be acceptable
to Him.
That was June 17th of Days of Praise. Yes. So, in our lesson, we were encouraged to look at each chapter one at a time, and we looked at perhaps a theme that ran through or what we felt was a major emphasis. So I'm just going to go through and tell you a little bit about what I saw as I looked at each chapter. But first, I want to tell you what Chuck Smith has to say about the book of James. It says, James is perhaps the most practical book in the New Testament. Although it contains some important doctrinal teachings, it is mainly practical advice on how to live the Christian life. This book addresses the prejudices that we are so prone to hold. It addresses issues about money, the tongue, pride, strife, and so many other practical issues we face on a daily basis. James communicates that the Christian life should not just be a belief system and philosophy to which we give mental assent, but rather it is a way of life. It is something to be believed and acted upon. And then he gives a personal note here. He says, whenever I think of the book of James, I can't help but think of Romain, a man who served as my assistant for so many years at Calvary Chapel until he went home to be with the Lord. Romain was a retired Marine sergeant, and he acted like one. He had a tough exterior, but deep inside he had a heart for the Lord and a love for God's people. Romain loved the book of James and taught it often. He had a practical way of applying the word that was much like the style of James. He would just cut to the chase and call you to an honest application of the word. Sometimes it hurt, but you knew you needed it. If our faith doesn't result in evidence of a changed life, then that faith is dead. Fruit follows faith, and obedience follows belief. And we probably all have people in our lives who we can look at and say, wow, that is a faithful servant of the Lord. And we have so much that we can learn from them, or that we do learn from them, as Pastor Chuck did from this faithful servant.
What book is
this? This is the Word for Today Bible, which is, it comes out of Costa Mesa. And so Chuck Smith's commentaries are in here about each verse.
Okay, wait a minute. The Word for Today?
The Word for Today Bible, yeah. So that's what Chuck Smith has to say about the book of James. And certainly as I look through the book of James and did this overview of all five chapters, boy, I certainly see a practical life in this book. And right from the very first verse where he says, James, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that this book is about being a servant of Jesus Christ. And so I want to take a look at what being a bond servant of Jesus Christ looks like. In chapter 1, we see that the bond servant is going to experience trials and temptations. We see that the bond servant is going to be a doer of God's word. And by that, as we just looked at verse 27, they're going to be reaching out to those in need, the fatherless, the widows, wherever there's a need. You know, it might be upstairs at the Pregnancy Resource Center. It might be at the market on Thursdays, reaching out to those who are coming to your table. It might be as Aaron starts this open air ministry, you know, in a classroom, homeschooling your kids, whatever the Lord has you doing, as long as we're doing it in a way that God wants us to do it, it's going to be well pleasing, it's going to be acceptable to Him. But we're the bond servant of Christ is going to be busy about God's business. They're going to be a doer of the word. When we move on to chapter 2, the bond servant is not going to show favoritism to anybody. Doesn't matter whether they're rich, whether they're poor, what they dress like, what kind of shoes they wear. They're not going to show favoritism because God loves everyone and desires that none should perish. Doesn't matter whether they have gauges or tattoos. There isn't going to be that favoritism there. Or separating out, you take this lowly seat, you know, but because you're dressed right, you take this, you know. The bond servant isn't going to do that. And you're going to see coming out of their life a living faith. You're going to see their faith put into action. As it says, faith without works is dead. You show me your faith by, or I'll show you my faith by my works, James says here. So, in the bond servant's life, you're going to see that his life or her life has been changed because of their faith. As we moved on to chapter 3, the bond servant of Jesus Christ is going to have a tamed tongue. He goes into depth about the tongue and how out of the same mouth blessings and cursings can come. And this ought not to be so, but the bond servant is going to have that tamed tongue, and if anything comes out of their mouth that shouldn't, they're going to take care of it and rectify that quickly. And at the end of chapter 3, we see that the bondservant of Jesus Christ is going to be walking in godly wisdom and following godly wisdom rather than earthly wisdom. And that it's going to lead to a peaceable life. Not that there isn't going to be trials and temptations and all of those other hard things, because there are. We are guaranteed of that. But there's going to be peace in that, and there's going to be fruit coming out of the bondservant's life because they are walking in godly wisdom. In chapter 4, we see that the bondservant of Jesus Christ is going to be walking in humility. There's no place for pride in the life of a bondservant of Christ, because all glory goes to God. So the bondservant will be humble, and they will be trusting God for everything, with everything, for every day. So they will be saying, if God wills, this is what I'm going to be doing today. And they are probably starting out their day asking the Lord to guide and direct their day and yielding to what he wants them to do. He can change, Lord, this is my plan for the day. This is what I have on my to-do list. But you're free to take your eraser to it or your Sharpie and change it however you want. Your will for my life. Lord willing, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to trust God with my day for his plan for me. And in chapter 5, we see that the bondservant is not going to be trusting in earthly riches, because they are corrupted and they are moth-eaten. They corrode. They're not going to take it with them. So that is not where their trust is going to be. Their trust is in their Heavenly Father. And they're going to be building up treasure in heaven rather than here on earth. They're not going to be judging the people around them. Not to say that when they see sin in somebody's life, they're not going to point it out, because we'll talk about that in a minute. But there's no place really to point our finger at somebody and judge them. Because remember, as you're pointing one finger, there's three fingers pointing right back at you. So we need to be careful about that. I've knocked a few people over with the plank coming out of my eye trying to get the little speck out of there. So there's no place for that in the bondservant's life. In the bondservant, they're not going to be making promises, because promises aren't ours to make and keep. Our yes is going to be yes. Our no is going to be no. We're not going to be wishy-washy saying, well, me, you know. We're going to be clear-cut. The path that we take, yes, I'll do that. No, I won't do that. And there's no compromise in between. We see in chapter 5 that the bondservant of Jesus Christ is a fervent, effective prayer warrior, because they know the will of God. They're praying according to God's will, and so their prayers are going to be effective, and they are fervent in praying. Before we started, I listed off a bunch of requests that have come to me that we can pray for. Well, if we are a bondservant of Christ, we're going to take those requests, and we are fervently going to pray for them, trusting God for the results in each of those areas. And it's going to be effective. And finally, he finishes out verses 19 and 20 with, brethren, if any of you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. So the bond servant of Jesus Christ is a changed life that can change lives. And that's what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to point a finger and judge somebody in their sin, but he wants us to come to them and say, you know what? Jesus died for that sin. And he loves you. And he wants to take that sin away. He's changed my life. He can change your life. And by doing that and doing it in a loving way, a sinner can be turned from the error of his way, and a multitude of sins can be covered. So again, in closing, I want to say that statement. Changed lives can change lives. And I believe that that is what James wants us to see in this book. We're changed by faith. And then he wants us to use that to be effective for the kingdom. So let's pray. Father, we again thank you for this book of James. Thank you for this overview that we looked at this week, Lord. And how at least you spoke into my heart that faith changes everything, Lord. It's changed my life. And I know that it can change others' lives, Lord. And so we pray that you would do that for all of us, Lord, that you would make us faithful servants to you, Lord, being doers of your word, not just hearers only, Lord, but putting our faith into action, Lord, that lives may be changed, that we can turn a sinner from the error of their ways, Lord, and that a multitude of sins could be covered because of your grace, your mercy, your compassion, Lord, that you desire that none would perish, Lord. And so we thank you, we give you praise, we ask that you would continue to teach us through this book of James over these next several weeks, Lord, that we now tear these chapters apart verse by verse, Lord. Just teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.